know, I'd say, how do you spell your name? And this guy told me, I asked him that. I said, how do you spell your name? He said, B-O-B. I said, okay. So I just quit playing that game. And I see so many people, and it just humbles you to say, now, what's your name? And because the preacher does that, don't think ill of him or think, well, he don't know. Oh, he knows your face. I'll guarantee you, Brother Lawson, you go to bed at night after a Sunday service, you look in your mind back, so-and-so's not here, and they're not, they don't feel that place. And, they know you. But it may not be, getting that name registered is another thought. Well, it's good to be back at Temple again. And I want to thank this church for your support. I want to thank you for your prayers. Since I was here last time, I've been down to the Amazon preaching a while. I went over to Australia and preached there. Oh, and by the way, in Australia, started out in the Northern Territory and preached down through the country and came to South Australia. And while I was in a church there, this fella came up to me. He's got tattoos down the side of his neck, got big old holes in his ears. And he asked me this question. He said, I know you preach in the States. Said, do you know a preacher named Charles Lawson? I said, yeah, I just so happened to know him. He said, well, he said, I was lost. And said, I just searched the internet. He said, I come across this fella preaching on hell. And I thought this will be funny. And said, he preached and said, I got under conviction. And he said, I thought I was going to hell immediately. And he said, it took about a week of conviction to settle in, but I got saved. Amen. And he said, it took me a while, but my wife got saved. And now my kids are saved. And they're in that church there in South Australia under the ministry of Brother Robert Cotton. Hallelujah. That's the second one. Last time I was here was somebody up in Tana Sands, a lady from Panama, that had heard that and got straightened out in her doctrine and got right. So what you're seeing here is just a very little part of what this church is doing. You've got tentacles and outreaches around the world, and it's such a blessing to be a part of this church ministry and have your support. And then after I went to Australia, went to India and preached there a while, and they're under real persecution there. Really pray for India. And then just got back from the Philippines. And so I am hoarse. I preached about three times a day, traveled all over, and my voice is coarse this morning, so I may not really get with it, as some people would say, but God said something to Elijah. He said, there's the earthquake. I'm not in that. Here's the fire. No. He said, now I've got wind power. I can split the rocks and mountains. But Elijah, what about the still, small voice? He wrapped his face in the mantle, and boy, hearing that still, small voice. And that may be all I'm able to preach with this morning, so we'll govern it as the Lord sees fit. But let me say this to this church. When I went to the Amazon, when I went over to India, and when I went there to the Philippines, I went there on the dime of God's church in America. You supported that. You took care of it. And I praise God for that. And it's a combination of God's church and burdens to get the message out. They don't take a love offering up for you in India. They don't take one in the Philippines or down on the Amazon. But I go there freely. And like Paul said, taking nothing of the Gentiles and able to go, because folk just like you have been a part of our ministry, and some of you have been for many, many, many years. I do not take that for granted. And Paul said, it's not that I want to be enriched, he said, but I want you to be a part of it so fruit may abound to your account. And when you give $20 or whatever, that's an hour of your life. You spend an hour working to get that. And what you've invested is time and mint. And you freed somebody else to go and do what God's called them to do. God's not called everybody to be a missionary, evangelist, or pastor. But God has called us all to do something to His glory. And whatever is in your hand, whatsoever you do, do it heartily unto the Lord. And I appreciate this church, and I want to thank you for your prayers. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter number 11 this morning. Hebrews 11. Take note of verse number 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Lord, I thank you for your word this morning. Thank you, dear God, that, Lord, you've wrote it down in your book, and you've told us to go preach your word. And we know that you accompany your word, and you put it in people's ears and hearts. And I pray in Jesus' name that for that one that's here lost and undone without God, that the Holy Spirit might get a hold of them, bring them under conviction of their sins. And Lord, I pray you'll show them that they are deserving of hell because they've transgressed against you. But Lord, I pray you'll open their eyes to the fact that Jesus died, that sinners might be saved. Today, Lord, I pray you'll anoint us. And wherever this message goes out, Lord, we know this church has an international ministry. And I've had people tell me in different countries, I listened to you preach today. I said, where at? Said, some church over there in Knoxville, Tennessee. God, I don't know where this message will go out or whose ears it will reach or whose heart it'll touch. But I pray for the quickening power of the Holy Ghost to accompany your word today. Lord, we know without you we're nothing and the flesh profiteth nothing. But in you, Lord, all things are possible. Glorify your son. Lord, bless this Bible school coming up. All these young people, Lord, they get bombarded with so much garbage in this world. And I pray that you'll bless these teachers in this ministry and put something deep in the heart of these young people coming in to the coming Bible school. Have your way now. We thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. When I was first saved, I began to read the Bible, and I came across Hebrews chapter number 11. And it immediately became one of my favorite chapters. Hebrews 11 is a chapter dedicated to the fact that it's always been by faith. It's written in Hebrews. Hebrews were those Jewish folk that had just been told God's going to lay aside the tabernacle, the temple, the sacrifices, the priesthood, the new moons, the Sabbaths, all of these things, that's finished. It's fulfilled in Jesus. Now, you take the word and go into all the world and preach this gospel of Christ. And you imagine now the Hebrew hearing that, and they had a struggle with it. When you look through the book of Acts, man, Paul, he had a struggle with it. Peter had a struggle with it, but God finally transitioned them and showed them. And they're saying, man, nobody's ever had to live by faith like that. To leave all this and just take a message from the Bible and go out and preach Jesus. And God said, now, wait a minute. Let me rewind the tape. And he goes back and starts with Abel. By faith, Abel. Then he said, by faith, Enoch. Then he said, by faith, Noah. And then after the flood, he said, by faith, Abraham. By faith, Isaac, by faith, Jacob, by faith, Joseph, by faith, Joshua, the children of Israel. And he tells us about these great exploits of faith. And these are national and international movements of God through these men that trusted God by faith. And then right in the middle of that, he tells us in verse number 31, by faith, the harlot Rahab. And the Lord's saying, you may have a Moses, you may have an Abraham, you may have a Noah, but you've also got a Rahab, a woman of ill repute, a woman raised in an environment that was not conducive to faith in Jehovah God, and yet by faith Rahab perished not, and she got saved by the grace of God. And I just want to preach for a few minutes this morning on the subject, the salvation and faith of Rahab. Now, her name and her history is recorded in Joshua 2, Joshua 6, Hebrews 11, James 2 mentions her. And then she gets another mention in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 1. And so there are some five times that she appears in the Word of God. That tells me God didn't overlook Rahab. Though she had a bad past, a sordid past, when the grace of God got a hold of her and changed her life, the Lord says, I've got something to say, that my salvation is by grace through faith. And no matter where you came from, I can do such a work in your heart that I can give you a future in my kingdom and a future with me. I don't know who you are this morning or where you come from or what your past is, but God knows your downsittings, your uprisings. He knows the hairs on your head, got them all numbered. He knows the hairs that used to be on your head, and He's still got those numbered. Amen. He knows your thoughts before you ever think of. He knows all about you. Yet God in His mercy extends to you this morning that maybe you're not saved a message of the grace of God to say what I did for her many years ago, I can do for you. Now, when I think about Rahab, I think about the fact that she had individual faith. Individual faith. The Lord deals with a woman who was born and raised in that Canaanite village of Jericho. She was a woman that had no family that had faith in Jehovah God. She was a woman that had no friends that knew about Jehovah God. Matter of fact, she had friends that were foes to Israel and what they were doing. She had no Bible like you have in your lap or you have available to you there in written paper or even your apps on your phone. Everybody in this building's got access to a good King James Bible to understand God. She had no access to that whatsoever. I think about the fact that she lived in a city that was not far from and was much like Sodom and Gomorrah. And when you study the Canaanites and their religion, they were a very vile, crude, wicked, ungodly, a very harsh people, a people that were opposite of God and opposite of the things of God. And she's raised there. Her occupation from the time she was small up to this point, she was a harlot. A harlot was not looked down on in that Canaanite society. It was just part of their culture. They just accepted that. That's just the way it was. But you know what? Here's a woman that seemingly had no way to be saved, but God, who is rich in mercy, brought her a message, brought her ministers, gave her a word, and saved her by the grace of God. Now Rahab's going to rise up in judgment against this generation. You've got a Bible. You've got friends. Probably some friend has begged you and pled with you to come. Maybe some kin person, though they jeopardize your friendship. They say, you better not talk to them about the Lord. They won't. You say, well, I'd rather talk to them and get angry now than they die and go to hell and point their finger and say, why didn't you tell me? See, you got somebody that Rahab didn't have. You got a Bible. You've got access. You're living in Knoxville, Tennessee. And you had to pass several churches before you ever got to this church. When you scan your radio dial to pick up your rock and roll or your country or the news channels, you have to run past several radio stations that if you just listen to them, there'll be a gospel message on there that'll guide you. Rahab had absolutely none of this. But yet the Bible records that she came to faith in our Lord. Don't let Rahab stand in the day of judgment and condemn you and say, hey, I didn't have any of that. You had all of that. Why did you not trust Christ? Why did you not get saved? What was your hindrance? And you'll have no excuse when you stand before God. And there's Rahab. She didn't have any of that, but she got saved. But this morning, you're going to get some of what Rahab got. And that is the message of the gospel of the grace of God. Amen. It's individual faith. Number two, it was instructive faith. The Bible tells us, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Now, I think first of all, as you read back in Joshua, she had a general report. when these spies came and they began to talk to her and say, here's what we're here for. She said, you know what? I've heard something about that. I've heard how Israel came across the Red Sea on dry ground. I heard about how they slew the kings that opposed them. And we've heard about some outfit running around in the desert for 40 years with no grocery store, no farms, no wells, and yet they survived because they said their God, you know, fed them and clothed them and took care of them. And we've generally heard that you've got a mighty God. Now, we don't know that God, but we've seen the evidence of that. But she said, I've got a general report. I don't know all about God, but I've got a general report. And you know, God gives a general report of himself. He does it through creation. Creation, it declares the glory of God. Elon Musk said some time ago, he said, you know, there's a big black hole up there in the north, and said, evidently who made it does not want us to go there. I thought, Elon, I'm going there. And I'm going to go there faster than the speed of any of your spaceships. I'm going to travel on one of those glorious chariots faster than the speed of sound. And I'm headed to the sides of the north through that hole that on the other side is the heavenly kingdom. But even he knows that somebody made that. And you cannot look at the universe. You cannot look at all creation and understand that it's just something that exploded out of a big blowout. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You look at Noah's flood, and the Bible said that in the last days they would be willingly ignorant. You go over here to Rock City. You go up there to the cave, and you'll see fossilized fish in that cave. You go to West Texas, 500 miles away from the ocean. Climb those mountains and you'll see fossilized fish everywhere. There are three great Grand Canyons in the world, and the geologists say they were all made at the same time. We don't know what, we don't know how, we don't know why. Well, they were nothing more than runoffs from the flood. And God has given such evidence that you cannot deny that. I was on a bus coming out of Moscow going to Kostroma late one night, and this Russian translator sat by me, and I got to witnessing to him, and he said, oh, I believe in the million billion year theory. I said, really? He said, yeah, you know, it came out of the Big Bang. I said, Sergey, do you know what a Jaguar sports car is? I said, you know, the low-profile tires, the high-horsepower engine, the leather interior, the beautiful paint. He said, I know what they are. I said, do you know where they came from? He said, where? I said, 40 million years ago, there was an explosion in an automobile factory, and it blew out Jaguar sports cars of all models, all makes, and all kinds. He said, are you crazy? I said, you think I'm crazy? When I look at your eyes that can read something close and see stars light years away, when I think about your ears that get little vibrations in it that translate to your brain, and then there's a communication between you and me, when I look at your hand that can grasp better than any kind of robot that man makes, when I think about your circulatory system, your nervous system, when I think about how you're fearfully and wonderfully made, and you want to tell me that just came out of a big blowout. He said, oh, you oversimplify things. I said, no, you make it too complex. There is a creator. Rahab had a general knowledge of God, but general knowledge does not save you. But then guess what happens next? Can we come in? Why, sure. I welcome men all the time. And she welcomes those men in, and she said, what would your pleasure be today? They said, our pleasure would be we need to hide. You need to hide. What? Why? Said, well, we're here, we're Israelites, and we're checking everything out. She said, oh, I've heard about you. I've heard about your God. Let me tell you what I know, and you tell me what you know. and the conversation begins to take place. And boy, they reveal to her who is God, what God's plan, what God's purpose is, and all that. And the Bible says she received the spies with peace. You got a general knowledge, but if you got a particular knowledge, the Bible says, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And today, I'm not a spy from Israel, but I am a preacher. And just like they knocked on her door, and she didn't reject them, say, you get out of here. I don't want to hear what you've got to say. You're our enemy. Hey, guards, come. No, she said, oh, I've heard. I've got a general. But I want to know more. I want to know more. And if you want to know more, God will let you know more. Yeah. And in this generation, there's a lot of confusion about who God is. Yeah. What God wants, how the Lord can save you, they just don't know. But if you've got a hunger this morning to know, God will give you that information. For you see, the Lord Jesus came and bled and died on the cross of Calvary to do what you can't do for yourself. And then he rose from the dead, sent it on high, and he sends out his messengers to say, believe on me and thou shalt be saved. Hallelujah. She had a report come. She had a reception. And then she had a response. The king heard about these men coming. And these soldiers came and said, where are those fellas that came here? And she said, I'm not going to be a Benedict Arnold. I'm not going to give them up. I'm not going to betray them. I know that you want them and you'd like to kill them, but I'm going to harbor them. And I know there's a lot of controversy about Rahab and her lying to those fellas. But seemed like God said that's all right, because she protected them. And she said, oh, they're right in there. Would have killed them and all that. She did not betray the messengers nor the message that God gave her. And just as soon as you get that message in your heart, that wife's going to say, you're not going to listen to that, are you? I didn't marry a Christian. I married a drunk. Boy, you get saved, I'm going to live. And that's happened many times. Just as soon as you have the message come to you and you speak to your friend, surely to the Lord, you need to give that up. The devil told me the night I got saved, what about your friends? What about your buddies? What are they going to think? Rahab said in her mind what I said to the devil that night. Devil, go on back to hell. I ain't going with you. I'm going to go with God. Hallelujah. She said, I know this city's going to perish, but by God's grace, I am not going to perish with you. We got a lot of folk, and I preach in villages, man. I preach the gospel in villages that had never really had a public proclamation of the gospel. And I know good and well that if they get saved, they have to acknowledge my forefathers and those before me, idolaters. If they believe that, according to what you're saying, then they're in hell. Yeah. And I don't know that I can get saved. I might need to just go to hell with them. But Jesus gave Luke 16. And he said, there's a man in hell right now. Yeah, right. And he's screaming and crying. Yeah. Tell my five brothers, don't come to this awful place of torment. They're not welcome here. Send somebody. Don't want you there. And you may have a mother, a father, a brother, a sister, an aunt, or uncle. And I've ran into people like that you know that they had no faith in Christ, and you know that they're in hell, but you know they're pleading for you and they're praying for you right now. Listen, wake up. Do not come where I'm at. I played the fool. You don't have to play the fool. Here's Rahab. She's got to make a decision in her heart. Am I going to go with my culture? Am I going to go with the old way of life? Or am I going to have new faith in a real God and go with God? Some of you are at that crossroads this morning. She had a reception, but then she had a revelation. God gave it to her plain and clear. Oh my. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're spiritually discerned, neither can he know them. But when God opens your eyes, he said, God that commanded the light to shine out of darkness, shine the light of the glorious gospel in your heart. I've watched it all over the world. People, they hear. Boy, they wake up and they, oh man, it's so, it's real. And it just, it dawns on them, as you would say. As God brings that truth, and it dawned on her what God was going to do. And what a blessing it is to see sinners awaken in conviction to know that they need to be saved and they can be saved. And then we see, my friend, her recognition of the fact that Israel's coming back and the walls are going to fall down. But she resolved, though this city be destroyed, though it be burnt with fire, and though all those that will not believe are going to perish, by God's grace, I'm not going to perish with them. I'm going to go with God. And you cannot take your eternal destiny and base it on what somebody else does or somebody else doesn't do. And when you stand before God, you're not going to be able to say, but God, they influenced me. But God, it's not going to happen. Individually, you're responsible to believe on the Lord Jesus and repent of your sins and get saved by the grace of God. And you're not going to have anybody standing there making excuse for you. It's going to be between you and God. Well, I see it's an individual faith, instructive faith, but it's an involved faith. When those spies got ready to go out, they said to her, said, now, Rahab, if you get your household in here, not only will you be saved, but they're going to be saved. If they'll believe what you believe and they'll trust that word of God, you can have your family get in here and be spared from the judgment to come. They left out. Rahab said, went to her mama. Mama, let me tell you what happened. Daddy, let me tell you what happened. Brother, let me tell you what happened. Friend, let me tell you what happened to me. And one by one, they began to listen and hearken. Now, she was jeopardizing her relationship, and she was jeopardizing her life by telling others. I got a friend that pastors Pyramid Baptist Church in Egypt, and he said, the persecution is so hard among the Muslims. He said, let me tell you a story. He said, there's this family in church now. Said it started out, this father got to missing his son at a certain time every day. He'd go to his bedroom, lock the door. And said he's Muslim, the whole family's Muslim. And said he got to listening at the door and he heard the radio on. And said he walked in on his son and his son cut the radio off real fast. He said, what are you doing? He said, Dad, I didn't want to tell you, but I'm listening to a Christian radio broadcast. He said, I've got saved and I've trusted Christ. If you have to turn me in, that's all right. He said, son, I haven't told you either. But said, I've heard that too, and I've got saved. The sister came in there, and she said, what's going on? They told her. She said, I want you to know, I've trusted Christ too. Said, mama, come in there. Mama said, honey, I haven't even told you, but I believe in Jesus too. And he said, that's how bad that it is in that persecution where they'll betray you, family will betray you, they'll cut your head off. You can't imagine living in that situation. She's there in that situation, but she said, I don't care what it costs me. I've got to tell my family, judgments are coming, but mercy has been promised. And if they will trust God, they can be saved. When's the last time you told somebody about Jesus? You won't even mention him on Facebook because you're afraid you'll be unfriended. You won't mention him on Twitter because you're afraid they'll de-Twitter you. Amen. You won't mention him to the boss man because you're afraid you won't get that promotion. You won't mention it to your friend down there at school because you might not be Miss Popular. You might miss out on that position at the football team if you say, hey, boys, we need to pray before we go out here on the field. Rahab, she did it in spite of all the consequences and all the opposition. Years ago, I determined in my heart, I'm going to tell folk if they like it or they don't like it, I'm going to tell them, because I don't want them to point their finger at me. Percy Ray, great man of God in heaven now, he had $1 million contract laying on his desk. He went to God in prayer one night and said he don't know if he went into a dream or what happened, but he said he dreamed that people were in hell and they were pointing their bony fingers as fire was crackling and smoke was bellowing and flames were about them. And he said he could hear those people say, "If you'd preached, I wouldn't be here. Percy, if you'd preached, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here, wouldn't be here." And he said he could see millions of fingers pointing at it. He said, "I woke up with sweat on my brow." And he said, "I reached up here and got that $1 million contract and ripped it up and said, I'm going to go with God." His mama kicked him out of the house, said, "You don't you tell nobody you're my child. Get out of here." He went down the road to a village, got in a little abandoned house, had to preach so bad. He started preaching the word of God and said folks started gathering in. Said a little white-headed gentleman come in there and listened to him. After he finished, that fella came to him and said, "Where are you going, son?" He said, "I don't know. Mama kicked me out of the house because I'm preaching now." He said, "Come home with me." Went home with him, sat down and eat dinner. And he said, "Now, son, there's gas in that car, and here's the keys. And tomorrow, early in the morning, I want you to get out here and visit this neighborhood. And I do not want you to come back till dark. And I mean it. Don't come back till dark." He said, "Okay." He went out and did what the man said. When he came back, the guy had hired a construction crew and built a room on the side of his house. And when Percy rolled up, he handed him the keys to that room and said, "This is your house. There'll be food on the table. There'll be gas in the car. You just go on and you serve God." My soul, the souls that got saved under that ministry at Camp Zion and the preachers that got called and how God used it. You've got to cross some lines with people and determine, regardless of the consequences, you're going to go with God and you're going to tell them about Jesus. Amen. Well, she did. Time passed by. Now, they look up, and here comes the Israelites. They're lining up. And they're walking around the wall. And the first day, nothing happens. They walked all the way around the wall again. Second day, nothing happens. The third day, nothing happens. What are these idiots doing? Who do they think they are? I thought they were going to come judge our... All they're doing is inspecting us. Why? They can't besiege us. Our foundation's too deep. Our walls are too thick. There's no way they can take our city the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day. Nothing happens. Rahab has that scarlet cord hanging out her window. Mother says, "You sure it's going to work?" "Well, I'm trusting the promise of God. You got to trust him too." Somebody said, "Well, I think I'm going to..." No, God said, "Don't you go out. You stay right here in the household of faith or you're going to perish too." All right. Seventh day, on the seventh lap, they blew their trumpets and they shouted and God shook the walls and the walls of Jericho come falling down. And the command of Israel was go in there and kill everybody and destroy everything. Don't take any of the cursed stuff to yourself. And it all fell down except for one little old spot on that wall. And that's where Rahab's house was at. I was preaching in Jerusalem, and I told my daughter Rebecca, who was with me, "I'm going to take you down to Jericho and let you see the city." We got out there on the road, and the Israeli soldiers stopped and said, "You can't go there." Said, "There's terrorists there." And I said, "Whoa, I don't want to go there." I said, "How do I get out of here?" He said, "Go take a left or right, left, whatever, you know." So I did what I thought he said, and first thing you know, we wound up in the middle of Jericho. And I'm looking at the ruins of that old city and all the rocks are falling down. But there's one little old place that still stands today. Hallelujah. And that's where Rahab's house was at. And it did not fall. All those that did not believe, they perished. All of their goods perished. But the Bible says that Joshua said, "You go get her and her family and take them out. And their goods." And I thought, "God, you said it was all cursed, even their goods." But you know what? It wasn't cursed anymore because she was trusting in the scarlet thread of the precious blood and what God has cleansed. Call not common nor unclean. Hallelujah. And they took her out of the city and her family out of the city and put her in the camp of Israel. Boy, she's saying, amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Look what God's done. Look how God has delivered us. Family, look at the grace of God. We trusted God's promise and God has spared us and God has saved. Isn't that wonderful? But what she didn't know, there'd be more to the story. One day a young fella come knocking on her door and said, now, you never been married? No, but I'll be honest with you, I've had many men and you don't want anybody like me. Well, I don't know about that because God's put it in my heart. And I'd like to ask you a question. Rahab, would you marry me? Marry me? You're kidding. Out of all the gals in Israel, all these beautiful, you want me to marry you? I sure do. Why? I just do. Well, I will. And they got married. How about that? Gave her a Jewish husband. And they begin to live there and begin to enjoy life. And the first thing you know, old Rahab was expecting. And the Bible records there in the Gospel of Matthew that she becomes part of the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. She had a baby and named him Boaz. Then you know what? Boaz married a Moabitess by the name of Ruth. You reckon why? I think he saw his mama and said, you know what? God can make somebody out of a nobody. And I just believe God can make a somebody out of a Moabitess nobody, and she'll be a good wife to me too. Woo! Hallelujah. My son-in-law is my pastor, and I tell him this, and he knows it. It's general knowledge. But he was voted the most likely to be town drunk when he was in junior high school. He got thrown out of school. He got thrown out of the special school. And as he's walking across the playground to get in his truck and leave, the teacher told him, said, you'll never amount to nothing. And he headed down that life. He's sitting on Pinnacle Mountain one night. And he had a jar of moonshine in his hand, fixing to have the big party up there. And he said he looked in that moonshine and God spoke to him and said, there's more to life than this. He said, it scared me so bad I threw that moonshine down. I left that mountain and my buddy said, what happened? He said, I don't know what happened. He said, something got a hold of me. He got saved by the grace of God about 2 months later. Then the Lord called him to preach. And then he spent 10 years helping in a children's home and preaching the word of God and all that. One day he was praying over on the mountain across from my house. He came to my door and he said, I want to ask you something. He said, it would be all right if I date your daughter, Rebecca. Rebecca's pure, she's virtuous, never drunk, never smoked, none of that stuff. And I said, well, I've seen you, Matthew, and I've seen the change. And I said, it'll be all right. Well, they courted a little while and he asked her to marry him. And then he asked me to do the wedding. We stood there at that church, 500 folk there. Matthew's on this side, Rebecca's on the other. I preached the message. And I said, Matthew, if I didn't believe in the grace of God and how God could change a man's life, you'd never marry my daughter. He cried like a baby and so did I. I said, but I know the power of the gospel. And I know if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. All things become new. And God can change a man's life. They got married. Got four beautiful grandsons that love God. All of them got saved. He's my pastor today at the church. And it's all because God visited him and God saved him by the grace of God. And I want to tell you, when I look at Rahab, I say, what an illustration of what grace can do and what God can do. And as believers, you have no right to give up on anybody that you're witnessing to and trying to get saved by the grace of God. You say, if God can save Ray, he can save them. Yes, he can. You just keep trusting God. Well, as you read through that genealogy, lo and behold, it all ends up with guess who? Jesus Christ. born of the Virgin Mary. You know what Rahab was a part of? She was a part of bringing Jesus into the world, who is my Savior. She not only had a burden to get her family in, but God, in His providence, don't you know that Rahab just shaking her head and saying, I can't, boy, it's just hard for me to imagine. From a Canaanite where I was at to now being part of the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. What God has cleansed, call not common or unclean. Hallelujah for what God can do for anybody. The Bible says by faith. And if you trust God and you call on Him, you'll believe His promise. He can save you. And then as God's children, I encourage you, get your family in while you can. Thank God for the Lord recording Rahab for us for our admonition this morning. I want you to stand all over the house, please. Our brother's going to get us a song this morning. I want to make two pleas. Number one, if you've never been saved by the grace of God, and whether you're here in this auditorium or you're even listening by way of internet or television or recording, there'll be a number for you to get a hold of. Call on the Lord. He's the number you need to ring. You need to call on Him and be saved. Don't put it off. Let Rahab be an example to you of the grace of God. And then, child of God, I want to ask you something. As Rahab talked to you a little bit this morning about how you need to be telling somebody else about Jesus. Our fathers, we bow before you. I pray, God, you'd help us not to just hear, but help us to respond to what you've said to us today. Get glory to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. What number you got, brother?
Page 394 in the All-American Church Hymnal, I Surrender All.
All right, you know it. Just sing it out. And you need to come to the altar and pray. Just come on and obey God this morning. Sinner or saint, God spoke to your heart. You let the Lord have His way.